We are joined by our NHL insider and our pal Chris Johnston, joining us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. You have Blue Jay fever, Chris. Is everybody around you caught up? Is this pivotal game four is about to be played in your neck of the woods?
Well, I'm actually in Winnipeg today, Rob, so it's a little bit quiet here.
Of course you are.
About the Blue Jays, okay. But I will say I was in Toronto last night, and you know, I think that the air is out of the balloon a little bit for some fans, but, you know, as I was just saying to your producer, Will, I feel that, honestly, those three games are a little bit closer than I think maybe some people recognize. You know, they just see the 3-0 deficit. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Jays' bats got a little hotter and the Indians' pitching got a little bit less effective, and, you know, maybe we'll still get a series out of this thing.
Well, I think we'd all agree that the Jays' bats couldn't get any colder, so there is only one way to go, right? And that is up.
Right. And, you know, I'm not even talking about them winning four games, but if they win today and win tomorrow and they got to take it back to Cleveland, at least there's going to be some extra interest, I think, heading into the weekend.
So we find you in Winnipeg. Does that mean you're on the ground early getting set for the Heritage Classic this Sunday?
No, in fact, I'm actually here with the Leafs playing the Jets tomorrow, and Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews, the first two picks from last year's draft, facing for the first time. And you know, it's actually kind of a funny point, though, that you know, you would think in some ways, I remember last year when Eichel and McDavid met shortly after the trade deadline in Buffalo, that was a bit of a sort of an occasion, I guess. But you know, I think now with so many young players making their mark that you know, maybe these aren't quite the events they might be, but it is the first time they'll play in the NHL, and I've been tasked to cover it, so here I am.
What about, you know, I was a little bit caught off guard, and I shouldn't be, because I guess I knew this, but we are less than a week away from our first outdoor game this year. The Heritage Classic will go in Winnipeg this weekend, which is a change, a shift, if you will, for the National Hockey League, but I suppose nobody wants to take any risks in a, you know, a December-January game in Winnipeg.
Probably not. And you know, I can tell you here today, it was about 4 degrees when I went outside for lunch, and there's no sun. So I think that's basically perfect weather for making ice. I mean, the one thing that tends to give them issues would be obviously if there's any rain, which there hasn't been here, or if there's too much sunlight and they have trouble making the ice. So I would think by this weekend, you'll have perfect conditions for an outdoor game. And, you know, it's a pretty big event here for Winnipeg to kind of have the eyes of the league on it. And then, you know, obviously so many of the old Oilers greats are going to be here, Gretzky and Messier, and Teemu Selänne is coming back for the old Jets. So I think it'll be quite a weekend. And, you know, I can already sense, even though they still got, you know, one more game to play against the Leafs here at their main building, that there's some excitement growing around these parts.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm not sure where you're at necessarily on the outdoor games. And to me, we had the one in 2011 here in Calgary at McMahon Stadium. And it was incredible. It was a local event. I enjoyed it. I think a lot of the fans enjoyed it. I don't think that they register the same way around the league. Maybe the Winter Classic does, you know, because it kind of gets that attention. But even within the market, it's a big deal. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that.
Well, and that's the value of them. And, you know, I've been lucky. I think I've been to 7 or 8 of these things over the years, you know, going way back to the first one in Buffalo. And you know, to me, or I guess the first one was technically in Edmonton, the first one they called the Winter Classic in Buffalo.
Right.
But, you know, I think to me, that's what makes them so special is if you're there, it's great. And if you're in the city or in the stands, I mean, they're pretty, you know, special. I mean, I remember the one in Ann Arbor, Michigan, with the Leafs and Red Wings. It was 105,000 people. I mean, that whole day was a spectacle, trying to get to a football stadium with that many cars around and that many people, and, you know, the way they divided the stadium. And I think that you're right, that in Toronto, the Centennial Classic that they're having here this weekend maybe won't be, you know, something that gets noticed. But certainly for fans in Winnipeg who, you know, they've been back in the league now. This is the sixth season for the Jets since they've been reborn. But, you know, other than, you know, one playoff appearance, they still haven't been part of kind of bigger NHL events. So I think that this will be something that generates a whole bunch of interest. And, you know, if we're talking nationally, the next thing that makes an impact, I think that we should look to, you know, the end of the centennial year. So this would be not for a year from this December, but the league is still very actively looking at having two outdoor events, one in Ottawa, one in Montreal. And I believe both will be in non-traditional places. You know, for example, Parliament Hill, I know, has been discussed.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if they pull something like that off, just because it's so unique. I think that will capture maybe more of the, you know, more of the interest, you know, beyond the markets with the teams playing.
Well, because again, I don't think you and I really had much of an in-depth conversation. Give me your bucket list. What outdoor game, what venue would you love to see? Because I do have one, and I'm not sure it's practical, but is there one venue, you know, non-traditional that you'd like to see one of these played at?
Wow. I haven't given much thought to this. I mean, to me, in Canada, I love the idea if they could ever do it on the Rideau Canal or something like that. I mean, I don't even know if that's possible. I might be...
Yeah,
just might be pointless. But if you could ever have it truly be something where, you know, it's an outdoor skating rink that they can turn into NHL ice, I think Central Park would be special for the NHL.
Oh yeah,
you know, obviously
yeah.
In the U.S. that would make huge, you know, make huge headlines. I know the league has looked into that at various times over the years, and basically, at least to this point, it's not been feasible to build basically the structure you would need to have for the seating in the stadium to pull that off. But well, what are you thinking, Rob? What do you have in mind?
I'll tell you, and I'm going to get a lot of people mad at me, but and I'm not sure it's practical. I will predicate it with that. I'd love to see one at Lake Louise. I think Lake Louise, an outdoor game
wow.
at Lake Louise, would be second to none, right?
And why would people be mad at you? Just because it's out of town, or?
No, because to put that much volume of people and that much resources into a kind of a quaint little place, people would get mad because, you know, they wouldn't want that many people in that area. And I'm trying not to use the word granola crunchers, but, you know, certain people wouldn't be happy about that. But that's, you know, I'd love to see that. I don't think it's practical. Right.
Right. It's like staging Woodstock in a farm field and somewhere in rural New York State. You know, it's, you don't want to bring people that people in, but that'd be awesome. I hadn't
right.
thought of that one, but that's,
man, right.
If you want to keep pushing that, I'll give you my as well. we can make this happen.
It sounds like a column to me. He's Chris Johnson from Sportsnet, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline. It will be the Oilers in Winnipeg on Sunday at the Heritage Classic. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, the Oilers sure aren't handling losing very well these days. They've lost once, and the place went thermonuclear yesterday. What do you make of kind of the fallout of the cancellation of the mandatory day off and moving it to Wednesday and all the things that came along with that?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, certainly it just reminds you that, well, it is, you know, three games in their eyes. I mean, it's 10 years in the organization's, you know, DNA that they're trying to strip themselves of. And, you know, when they see those kind of performances that look too eerily similar to those of the past, you know, I think that's why you see, you know, particularly Todd McClellan, his reaction, you know, what he said after the game, because, you know, you do think, man, you guys are 2-1, and it was a bad game, but it happened.
Yeah.
You know, your goalie let one in from center. It just, you know, one of those nights where nothing was going your way. But, you know, there was a lot there. And, you know, I do think that, well, some people might laugh at that whole practice issue, that we probably haven't heard the end of it. The NHLPA is going to take that matter very seriously, just because, you know, players, you know, basically lost half a season in the last lockout and lost a few other rights along the ways. But one of the things they did get was a little bit more favorable scheduling situation, and that's essentially what was compromised with that decision to switch to practice by a couple of days.
Did you at all wade into that conversation that was had by some? And I believe it's, you know, former NHLer Patrick O'Sullivan was one of the people that took to social media and kind of pointed the finger a little bit at Connor McDonald or McDavid and said that's what happens when you have a 19-year-old captain, that the coach can kind of bully him into making those decisions. I don't know if that's legitimate. I'm not sure that's what happened. But that accusation was something that I thought garnered a lot of attention. Did you weigh in on that at all?
I didn't, but, you know, I think it's hard to put it at any captain's foot. I mean, Milan Lucic,
yeah.
who's, you know, what we would agree is a veteran in this league, was also in the same meeting and, you know, had
yep.
the same opinion. I mean, it's an awkward spot, I guess, because, you know, something like this doesn't happen very much. The reason this made news is teams don't arbitrarily switch their practices because it's not allowed under the CBA. And you know, that's why this made news. It wasn't, you know, something that people are inventing. It's that it's an issue. And, you know, who knows if Connor McDavid even knows about that? I mean, I think it's
sure.
entirely possible he didn't know that was a rule. I mean, only playing essentially half a season in the league last year. I mean, he's learning like anybody. But, you know, I have trouble blaming him. You know, I think some people were saying that they thought the organization was taking advantage of him which you know I don't really buy into, but you know I don't expect that we'll see the Oilers, you know, pull this. You know, no matter what comes of it, my guess is that you won't see them changing practices again, because this has kind of unlocked more cans of worms around them. And you know, really, at the end of the day, what they're focused on is not losing 6-2 to teams they feel they should be beating.
Chris, one of the other stories that came out of that game, and it's funny enough, against the Buffalo Sabres, who we'll see in Calgary here tonight, kind of lost in the shuffle, is the fact that the independent spotter in the stands pulled a player out. I don't know if that's the first time it's happened in the National Hockey League, but it is the first time that I'm aware of it. And it appears that it was with purpose, because the recall of Brassois from Bakersfield leads you to believe that Gustafson isn't available tonight for their game against Carolina. I guess we get to test drive the new concussion protocol a little bit.
Well, and there's added significance here, because this is an instance a little bit outside of the ordinary, in the sense that, you know, Jonas Gustafson had come in relief of Cam Talbot, and Talbot was pretty hot. He went straight to the dressing room after that happened. And, you know, it was only a couple minutes later when this play happened. And, you know, Gustafson, you know, has had some concussion issues in the past. And, you know, clearly in that situation, the Oilers didn't want to take him out. I mean, I was a little bit surprised. I was watching the game on TV live that he didn't come out initially, just because he was down for a while. It didn't look good. He was getting a, you know, pretty long conversation with the trainer and stayed. And then, you know, I think it was a good test, because we're not talking along a fourth liner here. It's the replacement goalie. The game was still pretty close, 4-2, I believe, at that point, and within reach for the Oilers, and have to throw the other guy back in after yanking him. I mean, that was a pretty good test, and you know, it's a good thing in this circumstance, because you know, it's too bad it can't happen instantaneously, but obviously there's, you know, a couple minutes that have to go by between when that call's made and when word gets to the goaltender on the ice. But you know, from what I've heard, everything works properly there, and you know, spoke a little bit with Jonas's agent, and you know, they're not sure quite the extent of his injuries, but clearly it's going to be serious enough to give him some time off the ice with them bringing a guy up from the AHL.
Finally, Chris, speaking of goaltenders, a couple of stories. I'm not sure if there's new information, but I think they're both important. First of all, as we understand it, Carey Price is getting closer to a return. Should Montreal fans be concerned at this point?
They should be excited. I mean, the fact he's appeared 2 days in a row on the ice and took part a little bit more in practice today than he did yesterday is a good sign that he's trending in the right direction. And, you know, from the sounds of it, you know, he had some, you know, pretty significant weight loss, and the flu he had that left him bedridden for a couple days, it's something he's going to have to move past. But I would think you're going to see him. He won't play tonight in their home opener against Pittsburgh, but you know, I think we'll see him sooner rather than later. And you know, it gives everyone a chance to take off the tinfoil hats in Montreal, because everyone had, I think, assumed that flu started in his knee or something, because there was a lot of suggestions that it wasn't actually a flu. But I think, you know, the fact that he's now been back at practice a couple of days, you know, kind of gets us back to, you know, being a little bit more in reality, I hope, with the Habs fans. It's a pretty crazy marketplace, and obviously with what went on with him last year, I think there's extra sensitivity with anything involving Carey and not playing games.
Also, what are you hearing out of Los Angeles with the injury to Jonathan Quick? They've got Jeff Zadkoff. Peter Budaj's a veteran that's around there. I have to think that, you know, Dean Lombardi would love to do a million different things, but he's also right up against the cap. What are you hearing about the LA Kings?
They're between a rock and a hard place. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, from all indications, they're going to just try to forge ahead with what they have here. And Jeff Zadkoff's getting an opportunity unlike any he's really had, if he gets to play a string of games and be considered a number one for a period, because it does sound like Jonathan Quick's injury is significant. Last I'd heard, they hadn't agreed yet on an exact treatment plan. So there's not a firm timetable, but we're talking months. Likely, and that's plural. And, you know, I would think at some point, especially if things don't go well, LA will have to get creative and move some money around and go out and acquire another goaltender. But, you know, at this point, I think that they're going to just try to forge on and make do. And as I say, it could be a nice story for Jeff Zadkoff if he can play well enough to keep that team afloat. But otherwise, they're going to be looking for other options. But right now, I just don't. There's not an easy quick fix. It's going to be something deeper that they have to contemplate, and I think they want to, you know, assess the situation a little deeper before making those types of decisions.
Great stuff as always, my friend. Enjoy your time in Winnipeg. We will catch up to you in a couple of days.
Sounds great, Rob. Let's hope the Blue Jays pull one out for us today.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see the series extended. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, see you, man.